Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
CXGU believes in the visual art of storytelling, whether it's through film, video, live events, or podcasts just like this one. Our mission is to connect audiences through powerful, authentic stories that leave a lasting impact. CXGU is proud to support The Litter Box because great stories deserve to be seen and heard. Learn more at cxgfilms.com.
You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
In three very tight games where pitching mattered most.
Basically, the series is over unless the Guardians get hot.
Reese Olson, Casey Mize, starting to look number two, number three-ish.
I would move Sweeney and Jay Hen since
the one time I've had a Cuban sandwich, I got violently ill from it. Tiger fans, we got a different result against the Indians here in July than what we saw when we last played them in May. If you'll remember, we had a four-game set in May at Tiger Stadium. Our hopes were high. We were rolling. We lost three straight to them and barely scraped out the fourth game of that series. Here we are in July. We go to Cleveland. We haven't been playing our best baseball of late. We dropped a series to the Nationals. We've struggled in some previous series. And lo and behold, here against what is our division rival right now, and probably by definition our biggest rival right now, the Cleveland Indians, we swept them at their stadium. And last series, we talked about how pitching was the weakness. And here we are in three very tight games where pitching mattered most all 3 days, and we got some pretty good performances out of it. Bill, what kind of take do you have on this wonderful series sweep over the Indians?
It's been a house of horrors for the Detroit Tigers ever since Jacobs, then Progressive Field, has been in existence. And, I mean, the fact that they evened the series against the Guardians, so now we're, you know, in an even place on this. Actually, no, the Tigers have the lead. They're up 4-3 on this. The other part of it, I would say, is this. They've somewhat buried the Guardians. We don't play them again until the last, like, the third and fourth week of September. So basically the series is over unless the Guardians get hot and decide to come to play ball. But even then, the Tigers still have six games. I'm chalking it up as this is now a three-team race, the Tigers, Royals, and Twins. Even though the Tigers have a commandable lead, I believe that's what the division's going to come down to. So pull out your brooms. It's a sweep. And say goodbye to the Guardians for 2025.
I think that's accurate. That series, especially the end of today's game, had this strange, not finality to it, because we're only halfway through the season. Let's be honest, anything can happen between now and season's end. And we have to play them again come September, but they're 15 and a half games out now. They're not going to come back into this race without some serious rebound happening on their part and a serious fall off happening from the Tigers. What I saw here, though, was the difference between having good starting pitching and not having good starting pitching. And I've been pounding the table on this all season long. We threw Reese Olson out there in game one. Reese Olson coming off of the IL. He's been out how many weeks? 6 weeks now or something like that? I mean, he's been out since early June, if my math is right, at least early June. He went 4 1/3, gave up 6 hits, only one run, only one walk, and struck out 3. He gave up the lone home run to Jose Ramirez in the first inning. Jose Ramirez, probably future Hall of Famer, one of the best hitters in the game. If you're going to give up a home run to a guy, you give it up to Jose Ramirez, and it's a solo shot. He threw, it looks like, about 89 pitches. I'm going to say this is what we were hoping for in his return. I think it would have been greedy to ask for too much more. They weren't going to let him go too long in the game, his first game back. Then we got Tyler Holton. Wow, when Tyler Holton's a reliever, he looks quite different from when he pitches in the first inning. I wonder why that is. Who cares? Either way, he went 2 2/3, gave up a hit, and struck out 4. That is a perfect Tyler Holton experience right there. Tommy Canley came on, gave up a hit, gave up a walk, got through 2/3 of an inning, couldn't finish the 8th, got into some trouble, got runners on the corner in a 2-1 game at the time. It was looking ugly, and they had to pull him. I'm worried about Tommy Canley. I think he might be broken. Will Vest had to come in, finish up the 8th, and then close out the whole of the 9th, which, thank goodness he did it. Will Vest has been a stalwart for us this season at the end of that bullpen. Any thoughts on the pitching in game one in general, Bill?
I was losing my mind when Tommy Canley could not hit on the changeups. Outside of that, Reese Olson, kudos. Will Vest, you're the best. You got us out of it. And the Tigers walk away with a 2-1 win. I mean, I'm going to hammer this the entire episode. Parker Meadows is not ready to stay up. I don't care about center field anymore. In this game, he went 1 for 4 to bring his whopping average to 205 and his on base plus slugging to
596. Pretty bad.
And he had 2 Ks, which was tied for most on the team with Riley Green, who didn't have his best night, but he's Riley Green. He's given a huge pass on this. Outside of that, positives all the way around. The Indians clearly took a strategy going, Guardians, took a strategy going into this series that they were going to ask our pitchers to throw them a lot of pitches, trying to hope to elongate or extend at bats. And it was a really good strategy for this game up until it wasn't no longer a good strategy. Yeah. I've got to give pluses all the way around. The biggest plus I have to give on the offense has to go to my guy Z-Mac, and the biggest plus outside of Reese Olson has to go to my guy Holton. I don't care if you think he looks different or not. The fact that he is a Swiss Army knife for this team is just ridiculous.
The fact that he went 2 2/3 in relief. That is long middle relief right there, which I don't.
He's probably going to start tomorrow.
That from Tyler Holton. So kudos to him and that outing, because that really got us going there. That was the bridge that got us to what should have been shut down Canley and Vest. It ended up being Canley getting in trouble and Vest shutting it down. But kudos to Tyler Holton.
Can we talk a little more about Z-Mac, though?
I was just about to lead into that.
Go.
You ripped Parker Meadows a new one there, and rightfully so. Parker hasn't found the plate yet. I said I'd give him till the end of June, beginning of July. We are here. Parker, you have not figured it out. I don't know if he needs a little more AAA time, more at-bats, seeing different pitching. Parker's got to figure things out, because we do need him and his athleticism in the outfield. Zach McKinstry, I think he needs to be one of the alternates or written in coach's choice for the all-star team. What are your thoughts on that? This guy is putting up all-star numbers right now. He has played 7 different positions this season. He is a hustler, a grinder. This guy does all the things right, it seems. He had a great series. Here in the first game, he went 1 for 4, the run scored. He had a home run. I mean, you're talking about a guy that you don't expect power from him. So when you get it, it's kind of like, whoo, Zach hit a home run. Awesome. I am flying high on Zach McKinstry right now. We made a comment a couple episodes back about how he's coming down to earth. Well, he bounced right off Earth and shot right back up because he's doing great, and I think he deserves an all-star nod.
Yes. Will he get one? Probably not.
But doesn't have the household name, does he?
I think the Tigers already kind of got what they deserved. And I think if Scooble gets the start, which I hear is forthcoming, then I would say that's probably what they're going to get. You know, Major League Baseball, to my chagrin and probably yours as well, spreads the wealth around and gives younger teams that don't have marquee name players a look. And then you've also got some marquee names that didn't get through on the voting that are probably going to need to be there just to make this made for TV spectacular that it's become a made for TV spectacular.
I'll just say, I mean, McKinstry's numbers are better than Glaber's right now, and we've stroked Glaber all season long so far about how great the signing is and how great he's been. So, yeah. And I'm not saying he hasn't. I'm just saying Zach McKinstry's up there with him. He deserves a nod. Coaches, make a decision. Get him in there somehow.
So, all right. I'm not in the locker room. You're not in the locker room. Sure. I wish I was. Kudos to you, Jason Beck, for doing phenomenal reporting via MLB.com. My question would be this. I think if one player personifies the grittiness, the makeup, the moxie of this 2025 Tigers team, I think it's got to be Z-Mac, man. He's been selfless playing seven positions this year. He has batted everywhere in the lineup. And unlike seasons past where he was typically hot for a month to 6 weeks and then had a cooling period of 3 to 4 weeks, he's remained relatively hot outside of, I don't know, a three-game stretch. And when I think about this Tigers team, I brought up, you know, two key points last episode. The other key point I'd say is they've not allowed a losing streak beyond 33 games all season. That's the secret to the sauce, is that
it is.
You can punch them down, they get back up. And I thought this Guardians team, last time they faced them, had their number. I know the Guardians came in on fumes, 1 of 9 in their last 10 games. It was a great time to get them, 4th of July holiday. However, they were playing at Progressive/Jacobs Field. It wasn't necessarily in the Tigers' favor. Scooble wasn't going to go until Sunday. And the Tigers took care of business. Sweep happened, and all is well in the neighborhood on that. Let's talk about game two.
Let's do game two. Yeah, let's dive into this, because my favorite resurgent player outside of Torque, maybe, and he hasn't surged as much as this guy, is Casey Mize. Mm. And Casey Mize went 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks, and threw over 100 pitches. Casey is currently sporting a 2.63 ERA. I did not see this coming. They hit him kind of hard. They had about 8 hard hits off him, but they couldn't get out of the ballpark. We win this game 1-0. I can't say I've seen the Tigers taking games 1-0 a whole heck of a lot this season. It always seems like we're scoring a ton of runs, and when we don't score more than a run, we lose. So it was great to see another excellent starting effort from our rotation. I sent you a text. Breeze Olson, Casey Mize, starting to look number 2, number 3-ish type guys instead of the 4, 5-ish type guys. Am I getting too excited on that?
No, I think that's accurate. I think that those positions are starting to solidify. And if we could get anything out of innings eaten by Jack Flaherty, I think the starting pitching is looking immensely better than it was.
Starting to feel pretty good.
When we last potted. I still
want to
know.
Not saying we don't need a pitcher.
I still would prefer to see Montero tomorrow night. Yeah. Okay. Opposed to having a bullpen start, which means that my guy, Holton's going to be out there, and then we're going to see a heavy dose of the usual suspects thereafter, meaning Cannelly will have to pitch again, Vest will probably have to pitch again, Chase Lee, even though he did yeoman's work today, might have to pitch again. So 1-0 win. If you had said to me going into this series that we'd see 4 total runs in the first 2 games, I would have bet against that all day long.
Yeah.
Again, leading to how impressed I am by this 2025 Tigers team. It's just amazing that they find ways to win in so many, you know, different varieties. They don't let 2 fairly ugly losses define them, leaving Washington, D.C. They're still on a road trip. They still want to get home. And they still have 2 formidable opponents upcoming, but they take care of business. And again, they really put some distance between themselves and the Guardians as we head towards the All-Star break just a week out.
They bounce back angry from that Washington series, and they took it to a division foe. That's what you want to see. Brant Herter got an inning in here and a strikeout, a clean inning and a strikeout, 10 pitches. Another thing you want to see from him is he's had some up and down turmoil lately with his relief pitching. Tommy Canley got the last inning in a 1-0 game. I wonder if that was a AJ Hinch looking at him and saying, dude, you got to get right now.
It had to be like, because
let's get in there and get right.
I don't know
right
about you. I was
now
sweating bullets.
So here's the funniest thing. I watched this whole game, which there were no, I mean, we had two hits the whole game. That's all we got for the most part. Two hits and a three or four walks total. It was not an offensive display, as you could probably imagine, a 1-0 game. I missed the ninth inning. I had to run out and miss the ninth inning. And I'm seeing text messages from the crew here that watches these games. Can you describe what Torque did? Torque did something that set everybody off late in the game. And I'm going, he hit our home run. He's the reason we're up right now. What are you guys hating on Torque for?
Yeah, we could clearly tell you were running out to the store to get milk or whatever honeydew you had to do.
I was running out to pick a kid up. Yeah, but yeah.
Okay, what happened is the bases are loaded. Yes, there were two outs. Torque comes up, exhausted relief pitcher, and he had every opportunity to even just hit a bloop single and put this thing out of reach, and he went down flailing. That's that.
Okay, well,
I'm still not sold.
It's going to happen. I mean, he's a 240 hitter, right?
Yep. Like, I'm not sold, though.
You're going to get a good at-bat. You're going to get a bad at-bat. He had the only two hits in the game. He went 2-for-4. So, yeah, if he could have gone 3-for-4, it would have been great. But
understood what he did previous. Also, if he is going to be the future and if he is going to be a number one overall pick.
Yeah, I understand.
That's when those are the situations.
You want him to pick it up in that moment.
Well, the other thing is that his career numbers are awful when the bases are loaded. So he did nothing to enhance that. And he is still, we can do this another okay episode. But, yeah, you know who my guys are. I think the listeners know who my guys are. And he's just not one of them. I mean, he does enough, but I think first base is the easiest position in Major League Baseball to upgrade. And I'd say we keep him until
he's got a place in my guy village. He doesn't have a place in your guy village.
No. I feel like he's a player that could be replaced very easily.
I get it. They did a graphic during this game and I posted it to social media and I found it kind of amusing. Just to kind of have a chuckle. They put up a graphic that I believe this was this game. Oh, no, it was the game before. It was game one. The hot dogs consumed today. It was for July 4th. And they said a totally real stat. Trust us. They flashed this up on the screen. Spencer Torkelson, 4.5 hot dogs consumed. Dylan Dingler, 4. Zach McKinstry, 5. Zach McKinstry, do you think he can eat more hot dogs than Torque and Dingler?
Yes.
And Riley Green, 3. I feel like Riley Green's a sleeper in an eating contest.
He was asleep in this one.
And Gleyber Torres, only 1 hot dog?
He doesn't like hot dogs.
I was just about to say, he doesn't like hot dogs because he can, as our friend Adam Palmer says, he can chow arepas. I guarantee it.
The other day, too, they had a who puts ketchup on hot dogs stat, and Gleyber was one of the guys that was like, yeah, which tells me he just doesn't like hot dogs.
Yeah, he doesn't like hot dogs.
He doesn't like hot dogs.
Ketchup on
hot dog. He's still,
don't know what you're doing.
He's still a neophyte when it comes to hot dog eating.
At any rate, game two was a low offensive output. Great starting pitching effort by Mize. Our pen did everything they were supposed to do. We get a 1-0 win.
With the exception of Tommy Canley making us sweat.
He did make us sweat. I mean, he walked a guy. You're sitting there, you're like, oh, you're walking guys again. I mean, his pitch mix, by the way, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but he has 94% changeups almost every time he pitches.
Yes.
He threw 16 pitches. 94% changeups. That's like 1 fastball, 2 fastballs or something. It's crazy. Anyhow, let's move on. You want to do game 3?
Yeah. 7-2 extra inning win for the Tigers. And this one was crazy. It was a 1-0 Cleveland starting at the bottom of the 8th inning. And it was one of those, Chet and I have said this many times, we don't go into a away series or even a home series expecting to sweep it. But it was there today and you could feel it. And it was the most beautiful thing from my favorite offensive player. Z-Mac stole home, which if anybody has
some a pinch runner, right? Was he a pinch runner at this point?
No,
he
got on his own.
Or something?
No, he got on his own. Yeah. Excuse me. He did come on for Torque. You're right.
Torque got on somehow.
Yeah, no, you're
right. He came on for Torque. Something happened there.
And so he stole home. And for those that haven't seen it, it's one of the cheesiest, worst baseball movies of all time. Mark Harmon stealing home. Check it out. You'll absolutely love it. It's a perfect
pitch got away from Naylor a little bit, and he just took the opportunity to grab home plate.
Yeah, but the Guardians were not expecting
it
whatsoever.
They weren't expecting it at all. No.
He was across home before they even really knew that.
Pure instinct play by Zach.
Well, no, Joey Cora was going nuts. He sent him the second it happened. So I still love Joey Cora and the Indians, or Guardians. What's interesting, they committed two errors today, and like that greatly contributed to kind of the flux in it as well. Not necessarily runs, but just the demeanor and attitude of the game. It was interesting as well that Friday and Saturday night looked to be pretty darn near sellouts, and today was virtually empty, which you wouldn't expect on a
people are exhausted
glorious
exhausted
sunny day
a long holiday weekend.
Yeah, so I know Trey Sweeney's going to get credit for the win because he was the one that did the three-run homer.
You're not willing to give it, though. You're not giving this. Yeah,
Z-Mac tied the game.
He tied the game.
That's it.
But Trey came up big. Scooble did another one of his usual, it's become such a regular thing now. It's like, hey, guess what? I'm unhittable again. 7 innings, 3 hits, 10 Ks today. That's Cy Young material. He's basically turning that in every game. He's got a 2.02 ERA. They didn't hit him hard. I mean, only 4 or 5 guys got a solid barrel on the ball. Like you said, Z-Mac made the play. Trey Sweeney, 3-run home run that blew it open in the 10th inning. We had a 6-run 10th because the swing went into extras. And I'm going to give Sweeney the props there. He came up big at a time when he normally does not with runners in scoring position, and he did what he needed to do.
Agree 100%, and I'm poking the bear a little bit just because he's going to be part of my trade bait upcoming.
Okay. Talk about that in a minute.
I'm just not 100% sold yet. But yeah, he won the game today, and that's friggin' amazing.
Sterling had a good at-bat there. Riley Green, who had a pretty rough series. We've talked about him a lot lately and whether we want to sign him to a long-term deal, whether we want to invest in Riley Green. Had a rough series, but finally knocked one out. Had a nice 2-run homer there at the end. And Javier Baez, 2-for-4 in this one. Javi's staying, just keeping it up there, isn't he? You forget about him for a game or two, and then he pops off and goes 2-for-4 in a game. It's nice to see him just sort of consistently keep hammering away.
You might forget about Javi, but I never forget about Javier.
Javier.
Baez.
Never forget about Javier. I forget about Javi, but never Javier. All right.
What else do you have for this before we move to the next series?
I got nothing for this. I'm done with the games. Great sweep. Glad we did it. It leaves a much better taste in the mouth than what we did the last time we faced these guys at home when I thought the world was about to end. Let's talk about trade bait.
Oh, trade bait? Yeah. Right now, I would move Sweeney and Jahan since there's going to be a log. I mean, basically, look at it this way for our listeners. So I'm talking about Trey Sweeney first and foremost, and then I'm going to talk about Justin Henry Molloy second. There's a log jam at their positions. So let's just say they're major league ready next year, or they're certainly major league ready by 2027, provided, God forbid, knock on wood, there's no lockout. There's a log jam at their positions. I don't see them getting on the field, whether that's outfield, whether that's shortstop, or whether that's first base. First base would be more Jahan or outfield, even though he's not very good in outfield. And thus far, Sweeney has been a below defensive replacement player at shortstop. And the farm system's loaded with shortstops. Plus, we have somebody named Javier Baez, not to mention Z-Mac and others that can fill in admirably there. Mm-hmm. So I would package those two, and then this is where it's up to debate. I personally think Chase Lee's on borrowed time. I think his ceiling and apex is going on right now because major league hitters have not seen him enough to figure it out. He could be the second coming of Mariano Rivera and have an absolutely unhittable sidearm weird thing going that could be, like Mariano Rivera's cutter that just, it dropped 2 inches every time he threw it. It was in the strike zone, but it wasn't by the time you swung, so on and so forth. I'm willing to bet that's not the case. I would package the three of them and go back to, you know, shooting for a higher swing and miss guy in the bullpen, potentially a starter, but I don't know what kind of starter that package is going to get you. I think we'd do much better in the pen area on that. Your thoughts?
I see your Sweeney and your J-Hen. I think they are definitely trade bait to one degree or another. I think they would be, they're major league ready, theoretically, right? They've had some experience. Another team may see them having some value based on some of the things they've done. J-Hen's got a decent approach at the plate. Sweeney's got obvious skills and talent that some team might want to try to gamble on. I don't see Chase Lee leaving. I hope he doesn't. I like what Chase Lee brings, and here's why. He is, that sidearm is a change for what we're throwing out there from the pen at these other teams. That's something they have to prepare for. They have to adjust their line of sight for that arm angle. I don't want to see Chase Lee leaving town. I'd like to see him keep going here. I think one of either Herter or Hanafy would be a guy that could get packaged in a trade deal along with Sweeney and J-Hen. Let me throw another name at you, and you tell me what your thoughts are on this. What about Wensiel Perez in a trade deal? Do you think he's trade bait at all? Do you want him to be trade bait?
I don't know that his upside, given his age and how much he's, you know, kind of bounced around, lends him to that as much. Plus, I feel like he's much more the fabric of this 2025 team, which at this point we've had enough wins. And this series sweep tells me that, again, going back two episodes, Scott Harris, pick up the phone. I mean, I know you're probably working it, but start making some deals because you're not going to have 100 win seasons. I mean, history just tells us the Tigers are not going to have 100 win seasons over and over again. So I'd rather see them mortgage the future to an extent to put us over the top this season. And that's my stance, 100%. So yes, if that's what it takes to put a deal over the top, but I think that Trey Sweeney and J-Hen have more upside. I included Chase Lee not because I want to get rid of him. I just think other teams would find him really attractive. Sure. And I don't think Trey Sweeney, quite frankly, is all that attractive. I think the Tigers did okay in that Jack Flaherty trade, but I think they got a little bit hoodwinked by the Dodgers, who knew exactly
Maybe
exactly who Trey Sweeney was. So
Ferran Lorenzo was the other side of that trade, and he's kind of one of our top prospects right now. And he's been playing decent lately in minors. He got a slow start, but he's been playing pretty well lately in the minors. Chase Lee, I mean, I'm not saying he wouldn't get traded. I'm just saying I don't want to trade him.
I don't want to trade him either, but I'm saying if that package yielded us, I'm just going to throw it out there. Not Mason Miller, but maybe the step below. Mason Miller would be amazing.
Like a Finnegan type?
Finnegan. I mean, I could live with that because, and here's why. I don't really love giving up anything. You don't either, but I just don't see a clear path to the majors with prolonged playing time unless arbitration goes horribly wrong for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Which I don't foresee in any way, shape, or form.
I think so, Trey Sweeney, J-Hen, Max Anderson, who's a second baseman coming up through the org right now, has been playing pretty well. I still think Wensiel is a sleeper trade candidate. I know you see him as a fiber of the team. He's ARB eligible through 2027. I mean, we got control on him for a couple of years. Another team might look at that and look at his numbers. I don't want to see him go. His arm alone from the outfield lately has been absolutely lethal. I mean,
so I agree. What I'm saying is I'd rather have him than Chase Lee at this point.
Okay.
Which is, I know I'm firing a shot across the bow.
No, all right. Not really. I get it. No, right. I get that.
We didn't do food last time for Tampa Bay, and this one I've been sleeping on a little bit.
Have you been thinking about this?
No. I actually ate something close to the park when we were down there.
Okay.
For the rowing championships, and this is a Cuban sandwich, which both Miami and Tampa are known for. It's a Cuban sandwich. It's pressed, is roast pork loin and a Cuban sugared smoked ham with a mild cheese, typically Swiss, put on it with a not like a new style dill, if you would, meaning not an old dill, but like a kind of half and half, as they'd call it in New York. And then the whole thing's put on a delicious white Cuban roll and pressed, as you'd imagine it would be. So it's toasted on both the outside, the inside, the cheese melts.
Okay.
And then my only thing is they only use yellow mustard on it. And so I did have someone that lives down there that we went to the Cubs game with this week say that this is the best thing at Steinbrenner Field. It's also the best thing at Tropicana Dome, which is why I'm circling back to it. And I had a sandwich, a Cuban, a few weeks ago when I was down there from the same supplier or vendor that does it for both fields. And it was delicious. My only thing is yellow mustard's not my favorite. I typically like a Dijon or a Dusseldorf, something a little more.
You like something with a little kick.
Yeah, something just a little more. The reason I heard the Cuban uses that is because anything more would be too salty with the pickles and then two types of salted pork.
Do you think they have the bevy of options at Steinbrenner Field? I mean, yeah. This series is at home, so we're
I know, but we forgot to do this. We're giving them their
food kudos now. Even though they're playing us at home. But do you think Steinbrenner Field has a scaled back offering at this point?
No, they do. I checked it out, and
it can't be as lush as it normally is.
You know, when you think about it, I bet it's pretty darn similar. And I mean, it's like making a grilled cheese. Like, it's actually probably easier.
Like a Cuban sandwich is, it always reminds me of like a panini press type thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be just as easier than making a burger.
So I'll tell you a story.
Because there's risk of the meat's already cooked.
So I'll tell you a story. The one time I've had a Cuban sandwich, I got violently ill from it.
I knew we were going to head down this path.
So I had a little bit of a sickness with a Cuban sandwich. So you know when you get sick from something, you never eat it again, or you don't come near it again. Cuban sandwiches and grass-fed beef meatballs from Costco. My two biggest illnesses in my entire life. The Cuban sandwich illness, I was told after the fact that you got to be careful where you order them because they got to clean the panini press that they make them with. They don't clean the press, things can get filthy and all sorts of bacteria can build up. Ever since then, I just don't trust a Cuban sandwich. I'm sorry. I don't care where it's made. Take me to a 5-star Cuban restaurant. I'm not eating the freaking Cuban sandwich. It's not happening. The other time, grass-fed meatballs, vacuum sealed from Costco, I was ladling those things into my mouth one after another. I mean, you couldn't get enough. Mouth looked like a clown car meatballs. You couldn't get enough into my yapper. And I'm sitting there looking at my wife going, these things are so good. Oh, my God. About 5 hours later, I was doubled over. It was awful. At any rate, those two things are on my no-fly zone list for food. Maybe I'll eat a Cuban sandwich someday. Maybe we'll go to a Rays game together and I'll have a Cuban sandwich with you.
So you have no interest in going to Progressive, but you want to go to a Rays game. That's interesting.
I don't really want to go to a Rays. I was more or less just throwing the offer out there. If we're ever in Tampa Bay and we're going to go to a game and we go to Trop, maybe I'll have a Cuban sandwich with you.
Maybe you'll
be over it by then.
If you come visit me in the Villages, then for
sure. I might have been a little rough on Progressive Field. I just don't like Cleveland. I don't like any of their team. I love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Been there. That's great.
Really? That's my least favorite thing in the entire town.
I thought it was cool. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Compared to Baseball Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, it's a Hall of Fame.
I understand. The Football Hall of Fame was great. My dad and I did the Football Hall of Fame in 15 minutes. It was closing time, and they let us in with, like, they're closing doors in like 5 minutes. We're like, we're going to take 5 minutes. And we ran through and looked at all the busts and all the things and then ran back out and then went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right after.
I'm just picturing you guys like Bobby Lane, Ray Nitschke, Barry Sanders.
Literally running by, like, they have a video of John Elway's, like, 98-yard drive or whatever against, like,
the drive against the Browns.
They have a video screen up there at the time of it, and you could watch the drive, and then it had all, like, the artifacts from the drive, whatever, the ball or his jersey or whatever. I can't even remember. And we're literally running by and my dad goes, oh, that's the drive. And we just flew right through the room, right past it. It was like, we're not going to see that either.
Well, so that might have led to
we examined a bust. We left.
I think that might have led to your opinion on all that. So what we have upcoming next is the Rays at home. 6:40 for those of you in the Eastern time zone, 5:40 for those of us in the Central time zone. Tomorrow, it looks like we are to be determined on a pitcher, but we do have Bays going up for the Rays.
Yes.
8-3, 497 Ks. He's a right-hander. And
Sugar Shane Bavs.
He's going to give us fits. And then
He's good. He's a good one.
And then we've got Flaherty on the bump Tuesday, again, same start time, 5:40.
We basically faced these same three guys the first time we played them a couple weeks ago. Like, we're getting basically a repeat of them.
We get Ryan Pepiot.
I actually think we faced them in this order.
We did face them in this order. So it's exactly the same. And then we've got a 12-10 or 1-10 start with Seth Littell going up against your new number two,
Reese Olson.
4-3, 2.8 ERA. 54
Let's
Ks.
Go, Reese. I'd put Mize at 2, Reese at 3 right now, but Reese could easily take that over.
So what are your thoughts on this?
It will, you know, I'll be curious to see some of the guys that struggled in the first time around with these pitchers, and I don't have them on the top of my head, so go back and look at your stats from the first series. Guys who struggled, see if they make adjustments. I wonder what kind of video we'll be watching, considering you're going up against the same three pitchers in the same order you did last time. You better have some intel going in and see if you can beat them this time around. What do you have for me? I know you've got something.
The bats weren't really that big of a problem.
Were they?
No, because remember they lost game one last time they played in Tampa, 14-8. Then they lost the next game, 8-3. Then they won 9-3. Don't ask me why, but in doing research for this, I felt like we got swept by the Rays in that series.
We didn't.
And when I remembered that we won the Sunday game, and the fact that they put together 20 runs over a three-game series and still lost 2 of 3...
Yes.
This goes back to, I don't know that the bats were a problem. I'm not saying there weren't certain individuals that didn't have a good
pitching.
Season.
Our pitching was a real issue. I think we had like 2 bullpen games or something like that. It was a disaster.
Well, the problem is you scored 20 runs, but the problem is you allowed the opposition to score 25. I will say this for loyal listeners and Tigers fans. That was the highest slug that the Rays have had this season in any series. So to expect them to do that again, they play in a AAA ballpark, as we talked about, Steinbrenner Field, that does have Cuban sandwiches. I cannot vouch for the cleanliness of the press.
Clean the presses, people.
That being said, what I can vouch for is that place plays very, very small, which lends to the expertise or the way that the Rays are built. They lead the major leagues in stolen bases. The Tigers have been 30th since week 2 of this season.
We don't run a lot.
We don't run. We run a ton. We don't
run when the ball's in play. We don't
run
a lot.
We run when
the
ball's in play.
Yeah.
And the Rays are the exact opposite. They do not run. They do run with scorers, you know, runners in scoring position, but they try to steal bags opposed to first from third, second,
so
second.
So are you alluding to the fact that now that they'll be playing at Comerica?
I like the Tigers to win 2 out of 3.
Because the field's a little bigger. They have to do things a little differently than what they do at home. Okay. All right. So this is, hey, you know what? Betting angle for you gamblers out there. Maybe things happen differently this time around in this set.
Billy P is going to be spending Wednesday at the book at Wrigley. So if anybody has anything,
deep dive degenerate over at the book,
DM me and we'll work it out.
Well, let's see how that game, that aggressive game on the base paths, goes for them. I think
Dingler's going to have a good time behind the plate.
They scored 25 runs against us in that last three-game set. And we have Reese Olson going this time. We have Flaherty going. Flaherty's my spotlight pitcher this time. I need to see something from Mr. Flaherty this season. If he's going to keep going and supposedly be our number two guy in this rotation, which I don't even know if he's that anymore. I'm not sure. I would have thought he would have been throwing tomorrow and not the day after tomorrow. And so I don't know why we're doing this whole bullpen game tomorrow versus the next day. What do you think? Is it matchups?
Well, it's the same thing, I think, on why they delayed or that Skubal went a week between starts. I think they're teeing it up and ESPN's announcing it. I don't know if it's already happening. I think Skubal's going to get the nod for the All-Star game and they teed it up for that. And that's every chip's falling in line. That's my conspiracy theory, we'll see.
Well, we'll see. Either way, we're going to get the bullpen game tomorrow. I don't really care about those. Those are like throwaway games to me at this juncture. It's just trash.
You're so over it.
I'm so over it. And Flaherty is going to be in the spotlight on Tuesday.
I think you need to shave your side, you know, your next haircut high and tight and kind of go with the mullet Holton style.
Maybe a Holton mullet?
Well, I just think you'll appreciate the bullpen starts, you know, twice a week, much more.
That's not going to do it. That's not going to help me appreciate it at all.
No. All right.
All right, Bill. Should we let our listeners go and enjoy this series this week?
The fading embers of a 4th of July weekend.
The fading embers of a 4th of July weekend. Hopefully everybody had a nice 4th of July weekend. We're going to wrap this up here. Go Tigers. Beat the Rays. Don't let them do what they did last time to you. How's that for parting shot?
How about let in 14 less runs and just take the series?
That'd be great. I'll take that in a heartbeat. All right, Bill. Sounds good. Go Tigers. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.